As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light. In your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through the first half of verse 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, actually before Andy and I moved to Pulaski, our church friends, Bob and Rachel DeHaven, were both going through some health challenges, and they both wound up as patients in the same facility in Roanoke. The two of them used to tell me this story all the time, and their son David said he thought they would be glad for me to share it with you today. During their stay at the healthcare center, Bob was having a really hard time sleeping. So he would be up all hours of the night just talking and talking. His roommate, Rachel, was getting so worn out from it. She needed some sleep. They both needed some sleep. So finally, Rachel had an idea that maybe if she just quit replying to him and pretended to be asleep, then maybe Bob would eventually give up and go to sleep too. For a while, Bob just kept talking to her, Rachel, Rachel. And when Bob realized that she wasn't answering anymore, he paused for a second, and then he said out loud, well, Lord, nobody else can talk to me, so I guess I'll talk to you now. And he just kept right on talking out loud. Haven't we all kind of experienced that, though? A night when you just can't sleep. Maybe when something is worrying you, when you have a big decision looming, or a child who has missed their curfew, or a loved one in the hospital and you're waiting for the phone to ring. Or haven't we all had a night when we wake up to some crazy dream that seems all too real? The middle of the night can be a strange time. Odd dreams, wandering thoughts. And the only real witness to all of that, the one who is always awake to hear those middle of the night ramblings, is the Lord. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote a book several years ago that was all about darkness and nighttime. And she makes a pretty strong case that before the invention of the light bulb, those late night thoughts or dreams or prayers were probably the norm. The National Institute of Mental Health had conducted a sleep study based on the premise that before the invention of the light bulb, almost no one slept for 8 straight hours at a time. Instead, people spent as much as 14 hours of every day in the dark. So the researchers tried to find as many people as they could to replicate that pattern. And the participants started to encounter states of consciousness that they had never experienced before. Instead of 8 straight hours of sleep from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., it was 8 hours of sleep stretched in and out of those 14 hours of darkness. So they'd lie quietly for a couple of hours, then drift off to sleep, maybe sleep for 4 hours, wake up but continue to rest, fall asleep again. She says the rest hours turned out to be the most interesting ones to the scientists, since during those hours, the sleepers were neither actively awake nor soundly asleep. Their body chemistry hovered somewhere in between, just like their brain waves did. When I think about Jacob having this vivid dream in Genesis, I try to imagine him in that kind of state, being somewhere in and out of sleep, resting, sleeping, lying awake, drifting in and out during a long, dark night. Jacob is on his own in the wilderness somewhere between Beersheba and Haran with a big rock for his pillow. It cannot be very comfortable. Not to mention, when Jacob goes to sleep that night, he's actually on the run. Jacob has just pulled off a very sneaky plot against both his brother and his father, tricking them into giving him the entire family inheritance and blessing. His brother Esau is so mad at Jacob that Esau is planning to kill him. So Jacob is alone. Maybe he has some regrets about how he's been handling everything. He has definitely made some mistakes. Jacob has had to leave behind everything and everyone he knows and loves. He's not sure if he'll ever see his mother again, and the two of them are very close. So by now it's getting dark. He finds a stone, puts it under his head, tries to get some rest. And God shows him a vision. Jacob has a dream. There's a ladder set up on earth. The top reaches all the way to heaven. Angels of God are coming up and down this ladder. Then it's like the Lord himself is standing right next to Jacob saying, "I am the God of Abraham and Isaac. The promise I made to them, I make with you too. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. and all families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." And that's when Jacob wakes up. So now Jacob has a choice to make. Was that just some crazy dream? Did I just not sleep well? Start to see things that weren't really there? Am I hallucinating out here in the middle of nowhere? Have I had enough water? Is my mind playing tricks on me? Or is there something to it? Is God really going to stay with me and keep me no matter where I go and use me and my family to bless the earth? You think God will still do that even though I'm a runaway? Even though I kind of weaseled my way into this, played a dirty trick on my brother and father? God's still planning to do something with my life to bless the whole earth? Jacob wakes up afraid and excited and amazed, and he sets up a pillar, pours oil on top of it, marks the land because something so special happened to him right here in this spot. He names it Bethel, which means house of God. So what do you think? Crazy dream or amazing promise? A dehydration-induced hallucination? Or a thin line where heaven and earth have met? We are never really so sure what to do with these dreamers. Just think. The next time Jacob has a weird wilderness dream, he winds up with a hip socket injury from wrestling with something or someone he claims God that only he could see. Later on in Genesis, we meet another dreamer named Joseph. His dreams earn him a ticket into slavery, sold by his own brothers. Daniel interprets dreams and sees visions himself, and he winds up in a pit of lions. The New Testament Joseph is convinced in a dream to marry a pregnant teenager. They wind up as refugees in Egypt until Herod dies. What about someone like Harriet Tubman? She was said to have vivid dreams so strong that they would jolt her awake. She believed they were visions from God, sent to guide her, to keep her safe as she led others to freedom. But people around her would say, "That's just from an old head injury." And then there was a young preacher who told the world in 1963 that he had a dream. "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood." That dream was too much. That dream cost him his life. Sharing your dreams can come with a cost. Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, Harriet, Martin. So what should you do with your dreams? Can you dream like Jacob did? Can you count it as a gift? Can you recognize God showing up in your life, no matter where you are or how lost you might feel? Can you believe that God still has plans for the future, that God wants something better for all the families of the earth? And can you hear God inviting you to be part of that blessing? Jacob cries, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Surely the Lord is here." In the middle of the night, when your worries keep you up, surely the Lord is here when you are lost or worried for the future. Surely the Lord is here to guide your steps, to give you a future, to bless all the families of the earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.